So good to be here and be able to worship God together. We're just delighted to have our visitors. Want them to feel welcome. And we want them and you and everybody to know that if you have a question that you'd like dealt with, we're very happy to deal with that and work with you and talk with you every time we have you have an occasion. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, what have I done? What have I done? There was a little boy one time who wanted to surprise his mommy and make her some biscuits. She had walked up to the neighbors. And when she came back, there was flour, there was buttermilk, there was lard on the floor, on the table, on his clothes. And she came in the door and shook her head and said, "What have you done?" Now, I'm not going to tell you who that little boy was, but you might be able to guess. In Luke chapter 16, our text this morning, this is a parable that Jesus told about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. The parable goes on. And Lazarus had nothing. He laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. And all he asked for was some crumbs that fell from the table of the rich man. And he received nothing. So in due time, Lazarus, the sick man, died. And he was carried into paradise, is described as Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and the parable says, and was buried. And then Jesus giving us a glimpse of what's going to happen following judgment, he described this. And being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to me that he may at least dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Verse 25. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." If somebody had asked this rich man in this situation, "What have you done?" He might have said, "Well, I made a lot of money. I bought a big house, the carriage, the finest horses. And everybody looked up to me, my position in the community." Well, you might ask him then, what does that mean now, after death? What does any of that mean? This life, folks, is brief, and we know that, but we need to be reminded of that. And it's passing very, very rapidly. And once this life is gone, it never returns. Once we leave this physical life, we don't come back. Now, after passing this life, in God's own time, we stand before Him in judgment. And the thought then, the important consideration then is, if I'm going to be judged by the Lord of all the earth, what have I done? What have I done during the years that He's given me here in order for Him to judge me righteously and find me righteous? Of course, He's going to judge righteously. But what have I done? How have I lived my life here? How have I taken the responsibilities that have been given to me? Or have I sit back and think, well, somebody else can do it. I knew a man several years ago. One congregation had put me in charge of a particular part of the work, which was visiting the Veterans Hospital. And we were assigning men to take the Lord's Supper down there every Lord's Day. And one man had gotten an assignment for the following Sunday, and he came to me and he said, "John," he said, "I've done this for a long time now. Let's let somebody else do it." And I said, "Well, all right, if you don't want to do it anymore." But I said, this work, you know, has to go on, you know, as long as there is life. I mean, the work of the Lord has to go on. But he decided, well, you know, I've done this, so let's let somebody else do it. I would hate to face a great judge of all the earth with an attitude like that. Now, wouldn't you? If there's something to be done and I can do it, then it's up to me to at least give an attempt to try to do that. And to try to do it the very best that I know how. The best that I can physically and mentally to carry out that work. But we ask ourselves some questions now in regard to what have I done. The first and most important consideration is, have I obeyed the gospel of Christ? Now, Jesus told us, and through the apostles, he emphasized what we have to do to be saved. Of course, we have to have faith, believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Have faith in God, have faith in Christ. We know that. He tells us that because of this faith and because of this belief in the teachings of Christ, we realize we're in sin and we have to repent of our sins. That is, turn away from our sins. And then having done that, we confess Christ before men. Say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That confession is very, very important. And then we're baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. That's God's way. That's obeying the gospel. So this consideration we think of first. Have I obeyed the gospel? Because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Which means that I can't be saved unless I believe and baptize and do the other things that he tells me to do. So that's my first consideration. And then having done that, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, there are folks, even that I have baptized in my ministry, that have decided, "Okay, I've been baptized, I'm all right, I don't have to do anything else." And they sit down and say, "I'm saved, because the Bible said if I believe and I'm baptized, I'm saved." And so far as I know, years, many years have gone by. I'm thinking of two sisters that I baptized. And many years have gone by, and I don't know of but two or three times that they have been to worship. They're not doing anything, but they figured, "I'm all right." So, have I worked in doing my part of the work of the Lord? And then, we might ask ourselves, have I carried the gospel to others? Now, if I am in a saved condition, then that makes me happy. And I should be happy enough to try to bring happiness to somebody else by giving them the saving gospel and giving them the same opportunity to obey the gospel that I have had. Have I done that? There was a man in northern West Virginia one time, member of the church, who lived in an apartment building where there were several apartments. And something was said one day about telling others about Christ, and he wasn't asked directly, but indirectly was asked what had he done so far as trying to convert his neighbors. And he said, with no regret, he said, "I've lived there for 25 years and nobody knows I'm a member of the church. Nobody knows I'm a Christian." Is that carrying the gospel to other people? Well, somebody might be ready to say, "Well, let's let the preachers do it. And let's let the elders do it." Here in Mark 13 and 10, Jesus said the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, God has only one way to get this done. My mouth is the only mouth God has, our mouth. My hands are the only hands that God has to do His work. My feet are the only feet God has to take His message. So, if we as Christians are not doing anything, then the gospel cannot be published among all nations. You say, "Well, that's already happened in the Apostle Paul's time. He said the gospel had reached all the earth." But that generation died. And other generations have come on. And there are people today in the United States of America, I dare say in Nashville, Tennessee, that never heard the pure gospel of Christ preached. So if I'm going to be judged one day, I think, what have I done? Then I say, have I carried the gospel to others? There was a man one time who was a member of the church, and his attitude was terrible, and his life was not what a Christian's life ought to be. And due to these things, especially due to his attitude and the things that he said, he drove several people away from the church. And realizing the damage then, he was heard to say, "What have I done? What have I done?" Now, there are certain things that can be undone. But if you drive somebody away from Christ, you may never get them back. And we'll have to answer for that. Then you might ask yourself, have I made the world better by having been here? In the judgment parables in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us a very serious outlook on things. Here at the beginning of verse 35, He said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. In prison and you came unto me." And then there were some other folks who Jesus said, "You didn't do this. You didn't do any of this." And they said, "Well, Lord, when did we see you in this situation?" Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it or did it not unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it or did it not unto me." Have I in my life drawn anybody closer to the Lord? Have I made life better for somebody else? What have I done during the years that I've had opportunity and ability to do things? And it's interesting to note that the people here in Matthew 25 that were condemned were not condemned because of gross sins like rape and murder and things of that nature. No, no. They were condemned because they didn't do anything. They just didn't do anything. Then you might ask yourselves, when I leave this life, Have I left a good name or an evil name? What are people going to say about me? And remember that you influence somebody in some way. If you communicate with somebody, one of you is influencing the other in a certain way. You can influence somebody for Christ, or you can influence them for evil. Depending on what you say, depending on what you do, your attitude. So what kind of a name? Let's look at some people in the Bible. There was a woman named Dorcas. Tabitha was her other name. And she had died. And she was well known. The other women of the area in Acts chapter 9 were gathered there at her home. And they were showing the coats and the other garments that she had made for people. And that's the kind of a name she left. One who helped. One who did good. One who took care of the poor in regard to clothing. And then let's look at the Old Testament. There was a man named Jeroboam who became king. One of the wickedest men in the Bible. Jeroboam was remembered by causing Israel to sin. This is repeated 13 times in the Bible. Where it says, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. Now that's what kind of a name he left. And then the man in our text. Here he is. And he said he's in torment. What had he done? Abraham said, son, remember. Remember in your lifetime you had all the good things. What did you do with those good things? Did you help the poor people in your area? Did you do anything good with what the Lord had given you to do with? And you'd have to answer in the negative. I like a man in Romans chapter 16, verse 10. This is all we know about him. And the verse says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. That's all we know. But what more do we need to know? Here was a man that lived the kind of a life that he was approved in Christ. Now that's my goal in this life. And that should be your goal in this life. To live in such a way that you can say, I'm approved in Christ. I have done what I needed to do. Then I think about the man that was called the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He was a farmer. And he had grain, all more grain than he could put in his barns. And he said, what am I going to do? He said, my barns won't hold the bounty. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones. And there I'll store my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. That night he died. Then he said, who's going to own these things that you now have? If he had only done good with what he had. Look, we have abilities. We all can do something. And we are required to use our abilities in the service of the Lord. Now you can do things that I can't do. So I'm not required to do something that I can't do. But I am required to do the things that I can do. And that goes with each one. We might ask ourselves, have I worked diligently? Have I kept on? I know of folks, and you probably do too, that have attempted to live a Christian life and started out real good and then they got discouraged. Or temptation carried them away and they got involved in sins of this kind and that kind and just gave up trying to be a Christian. You can't do that. You can't. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So have I been steadfast? Have I been unmovable so far as my faith in Christ is concerned, not allowing anything to pull me away? Have I abounded in the work of the Lord, doing everything that I can do? That I need to ask myself. And here's a very important question. If I die today, and ask yourself this, if I die today, how will I be judged? Now, there are many attitudes in this regard, but some might say, well, look, I have never hurt anybody. I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed anybody. Well, that's wonderful. All the things that you haven't done that are bad, that's wonderful. But look on the plus side, what have you done? I'm glad that I never murdered anybody. I'm glad that that there are many people that have never done these gross sins. But that's not how we're going to be judged. In Revelation chapter 20, let's begin here with verse 12. Let's go back to verse 11. Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heavens and the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. But get this. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here he caps it off by saying this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Life is serious. Life is short. We can't take anything for granted. I can't begin tomorrow or plan to begin tomorrow to do something for the Lord. I'm going to be judged not according to what I intended to do someday. I'm going to be judged according to what I did. Might have meant well. Might have had good plans. But he did not say that I'm going to be judged according to my plans, but according to what I did. Now, if we're lost, if we die in a lost condition, folks, we can't come back to this life and make it right. If you're at the point of death, it would be useless for you to say, oh, I wish that I had done this. Oh, I wish that I had done this. I wish that I had obeyed the gospel. I wish that I had lived for Christ. I wish that I had helped people. Can't do that. You don't have the opportunity. And once you die, if you die in a lost condition, you're lost. If you die in a saved condition, you're saved. Because that's not going to change after death. And we can't come back to this life and redo things. Just like the messed up kitchen we described earlier. That kitchen was cleaned up. And the clothes on this little boy were washed. And everything was back to normal, pretty much. But in regard to your life, what you do, folks, cannot be undone. Be careful what you do. What you say cannot be unsaid. A bell cannot be unrung once you ring a bell. Now, let me ask you this morning, what have you done? Are you ready now to be judged by the judge of all the earth? Are you ready? If not, what do you lack? What do you have to do in order to be ready? Ask yourself, what have I done in preparation? What have I done? And then follow that with the question, what have I left undone? We're going to be singing an invitation song here in just a moment. And if you're not a Christian, if you have never been baptized into Christ, if you've never acted on your faith in Christ, now is the time. And if you have and then have gone back into the world and given up on being a Christian, now is the time to be restored. And that's a prayer for the church. If you have a need, we'd ask you to come forward as together we stand and sing.
Nailed to the cross, pierced by Christ's side.